Okay, this chus to be back here. I want to thank, as always, Daniela and the Kopels for opening up their bias. For Torah, Baruch Hashem, it should be a big chus for the entire mishpacha, for just simcha and bracha, Baruch Hashem. This is our first shiur that we're back in Chutz Laretz. Some of us had this chus to have a shiur together in Eretz Yisrael, which was very, very special. And that was in the Kopel home, Daniela's home, Baruch Hashem, in Eretz Yisrael. This is just their house. Home could only be in Eretz Yisrael. Libi b'mizrach. And when we were there, we were hoping that was only the beginning of the shiurim in Eretz Yisrael, and that we wouldn't ever have to be back at this table. Not that it's not a beautiful makom, but unfortunately, we're still in Galus, and we're back here. And as we spoke about in that shiur, those who had the schus to be there, or those that listened to it, and if you haven't yet, you can still. We're here to learn Torah, and if we have Torah, we're one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu wherever we are. And we have to always remember that. You know, the emes is, for those of us, and I'm sure a lot of us looking around the room, I know some have been in Eretz Yisrael recently. Whenever you're in Eretz Yisrael, it's mamish such clarity, such kirvas elokim, such closeness to Hashem, feeling of simcha, feeling of happiness, and then we have to come back to Chutz Laretz, and feel galus. But that's a good thing also, a little bit, you know, to understand and recognize we're still in galus. Sometimes we become desensitized and we forget that we're in galus. Like, let's be real, those of us, you know, we're living in beautiful houses and with beautiful cars and beautiful clothing, and we have everything in the world we need, begashmias. On a physical level, we have everything in the world we need. And beruchnias, we're living in a time, spiritually, where we can go and walk around looking like a Jew and acting like a Jew and learning Torah and davening, and it's all good. Baruch Hashem, like the other day, this week one day, I was stuck somewhere, I didn't daven mincha yet, I was in the middle of New York City, and I had to daven mincha still, I wasn't going to get anywhere with a minyan. I was walking down a block, it was maybe Ches Nish 65th Street and 1st Avenue, and I realized, talk about what was there, and I realized I'm not going to be able to daven mincha from this point on, so on the side, right there, like in front of an apartment building, I was on the sidewalk, I just moved over a little bit closer to the building, and I daven mincha. And I knew that I could daven mincha right there. And yeah, there were people that probably were looking, and some of them might have thought I was crazy. But, you know, years ago, I used to hear people said when they had to daven mincha like that, they'd go in a phone booth. You know what a phone booth is, guys? Yeah? So they go in a phone booth, and they'd pick up a phone and, like, pretend that they're talking to someone so they don't... But, Lameisa, we don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. We could walk around, and we live, Baruch Hashem, in a Medina Shel Chesed, in a country that's full of Chesed, and... We don't feel, Baruch Hashem, so anti-Semitism in the way, maybe in some other countries they do. Here we don't, and we could forget that we're in Galus. Things are amazing. Physically, spiritually, we could forget we're in Galus. When you're in Eretz Yisrael, and then you come back here, for at least a moment, you feel you're in Galus. For at least a moment. And that's important, so we daven for Gula, because we want so much more. Because last time I checked, on top of Har HaBayis, the holiest place in the world, is not yet the Beis HaMikdash, but is a golden mosque. Right, it's a picture on the WhatsApp group, right? So everybody knows. But the emes is, at the same time, the truth is each and every one of us, when we open up our eyes, it's so, unfortunately, we feel galus and we know we're in galus. We know in galus because each and every one of us has our trials and our tribulations. We have our difficulties that we go through. With people in our lives that are not well, that need refuos. There are those that us are struggling in other ways with our families. That those of us in this room that are struggling when it comes to shiduchim and davening so hard, there's all different type of nisyonos that remind us we're in galus. That's what all those nisyonos are. All that we go through is just reminding us we're in galus. Personally, I have had this week, on a personal level, a very, very heavy week, a very difficult week, where one of my close talmidim, well, my talmidim are mamish like children to me, called Malamid Ben Chavera Torah, Ki'ilu Yoldo. If you have the schus to teach Torah to a Talmud, it's as if you've given birth to them. So one of my very close Talmidim, Binyamin Pinchas Ben Nafna, and all the Torah tonight, by the way, the Torah tonight is sponsored by Shlomo Binyamin and Chai Rezel Renov, Bez Hashem, Simcha, and Bracha. And all the Torah tonight should be Refuah Shleima Binyamin Pinchas Ben Dafna. Binyamin Pinchas Ben Dafna, a very special tzaddik of a Talmud of mine. If I started speaking about him, I'd speak about him for the next few hours, Emes is. He's more, I told him earlier this week, he's really, Emes is, I don't know if I could call him a Talmud, I call him my Rebbe. Chazal say, Me Talmida Yosef Mekulam, you learn from your Talmidim more than anyone. The Emes is, he's my Rebbe. To watch the way he's going through what he's going through, who's unfortunately very, very ill with a very serious cancer, and the prognosis is saying not good is an understatement, and I've been with him every single day in the hospital in Sloan Kettering. That's how I've spent my afternoons. Mamish is a pachad. Those of us have been in the pediatric ward in Sloan, and you walk just the hallways and watch cribs of young children through the hallways and little five-year-old girls walking around. And since spending time with this special Talmud of mine, it's been a very, very hard week, and it's a reminder of, ultimately it's a reminder of Gullus. It's a reminder of Gullus. Okay, let's not be so morbid. Let's try to say what we're going to do with this. What are we going to do with this feeling? Because Emes is each and every one of us at times feels this way. Each and every one of us has our nisyonos, has our difficulties, has the times when we feel down and out. And the Emes is HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be b'simcha. Yivduos Hashem b'simcha, ba'olafanav b'ernana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be b'simcha. Even in Golus, even with all the tragedies that we deal with, each and every one of us, with all the tragedies. So let's talk about how we could always feel b'simcha and take the Golus and turn it into Geula. And even if we're not zoiche yet to the ultimate Geula, which Bezer Hashem will be karv mamish and bring all the refuos and yeshuos, but b'prati, on an individualized level, in our own Golus that we deal with, we could find Geula right here, right now, and live a chayi olam avo, b'simcha. Even if Klal Yisrael is not yet zocha to ultimate Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mehera b'yamenu, in our life we can find it. And how do we find it right now, right here? I want to share Torah. And the Emes is a lot of this Torah I had the schus to prepare together with this Talmud. Over the week we were talking Torah throughout the week, and these are ideas that we were speaking about. So, you know, if you open up the parashios, these are the parashios of Galus and Geula. These are the parashios to look at. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe, we've said this over at this table many times, the Lubavitcher Rebbe's Atzal, or Menachem Mendel's Atzal, tells us you have to live with the parasha. We learn the parashios not just as a history lesson. If it was just a history lesson, I would not have to learn the parasha again. I wouldn't have to go to Shul this Shabbos to listen to the parasha. You all know what's going to go down this week, right? You know, the last three makos are going to happen. You know what they are already. You've been there, done that. Like, we've been by a Pesach Seder before, right? So we don't. And we also know it's not going to be a surprise when next week we're standing at the sea and the sea suddenly splits. Like, that's not going to be a surprise. We've been through the movie before. We know it. So if it's history lesson, been there, done that. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe taught us we have to live with the parasha. The parasha is there to give us chizik, to give us inspiration, to be internalized, to give us lessons of life, and specifically whatever's going on in the parasha, that's for this time in our life, in this time in the year. So if these are the parashios that take us, Shemos, Ve'erobo, the parashios of Galus, and Bishalach, Yisro, the parashios of Geula, we have to analyze and think about them and understand them, because that's what's going to teach us how internally to live a life of Geula and take ourselves out of the Golus that we're in. So what's the teretz? What's the answer? So you open up, really we're going to skip forward to next week's parasha for a moment, but these are all, it's one long parasha, let's be real, right? So the Pasuk says in Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Yud in Parashas Bishalach, Uparo Hikriv. This is talking about when Klal Yisrael already left Mitzrayim. When Klal Yisrael already left Mitzrayim and they're standing there by the Yantav, Uparu Ikriv, Paru is drawing near. Vayisu B'nai Yisrael, Sineim. And B'nai Yisrael saw that what was happening, B'nai Mitzrayim, Noseh Achrayim, that the Egyptians were running after them. Vayirumo, they got very afraid, they were trembling in fear. Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem, and they screamed out to Hashem. And what does Rashi tell us there? That they screamed out to Hashem. What does it mean they screamed out to Hashem? They davened. What it means is they davened. As Rashi says, tafsu umnos avoisam. They grabbed on to the umnos, to the livelihood, but it's not really that livelihood, the way of their forefathers, the profession of their forefathers. What's the profession of their forefathers? Tefillah. Avram, davened, we know, Yitzchok davened, Yaakov davened, we all know Avram made Shachris, Yitzchok made Mincha, Yaakov made Meiriv. They grabbed on to the professions of their ancestors. And what is that to daven? Meaning, what's the answer at Zman of Galus? What are we supposed to be doing? And we know this, there's no Chiddush. Daven. And we as well, we know what happens when we're in need. We pull out our tilim, we start davening to the Rabbonu Shalom. And we see as well, if you look, when talking about this whole story in Parshat Kisavo, in Perek Chavav, Pasuk Vav Zayin Eches, it says, Vayirau Osanu Amitrim Ve'anu, the Egyptians were dealing very harshly with us and oppressing us. Vayitnu Aleinu Avodakasha, there was backbreaking, difficult labor. Vanitzak El Hashem Elokeinu Avoseinu. We screamed out to Hashem, Vayishma Hashem Eskoleinu. Hashem listened to our tefillos. Vayotienu Hashem Mitzrayim, it took us out of Mitzrayim. So from here, it seems very clearly that the answer to Zman Golus and to bring us to ultimate achieve Gula is Tefillah. Is to daven. And that's true. And that's a beautiful, wonderful, simple, but very deep, practical eitz of what we're supposed to be doing actively Bizman Golus. But what does that do for me internally? I mean, ultimately, maybe it's good to get it off my chest and to ultimately pray to God, and if it brings the geula, surely then I'll be happy and then I'll be good. But while I'm still in Golus, I'm davening. I've been davening for Binyamin Pinchas Ben Dafna for the past 7 years. Every single Shmon Esrei. For 7 years. 3 times a day. Besides for other tefillos throughout my day for him. And as we speak right now, he's in a hospital bed. Or maybe he's sitting up right now. The last few days he's had a little more strength. But ultimately, the Yeshua hasn't come. So, yeah, I'm going to continue to daven. But Lameisa, it doesn't necessarily mean it's pulling me out of the Golus yet. So yeah, that's going to be my active approach. That's going to be our active approach when we're going through a Nisayon, when we're going through a Golus. I know what to do. But what does that do for me? Meaning, when I think I'm living geula, it means I'm simcha, I'm happy, I'm good, things are great. I'm going to daven when things are... It doesn't mean suddenly I daven, so it's already good, I feel good about that. So let's understand something else. The Pasuk Mishalach also says, right afterwards, right, a few psukim later, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, right after we're davening in Bishalach, Hashem says to Moshe, Ma titzak alai? Why are you crying out to me? Why are you davening to me? Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yisol. Tell b'nei Yisrael just travel. Meaning what? Moshe was davening, Klaus was davening, Hashem says, what are you doing davening? Just keep on going. Meaning, what was the scene? Just imagine the scene. It's crazy, right? They're standing there. They're there at the Yam Suf. There's a sea in front of them. The Mitzrayim are running from their behind. So what do they do with them? And what else is there to do? They scream out to Hashem and they dive in. And Hashem says, what are you doing? Jump in the sea. What's going on? Wait a minute. We just brought makar after makar of the importance and chashivas of davening. And davening is the key to our geula. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'avet tefilas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires our tefilas, right? Chazal says, Lama were our imos ikaros. Why were our imos barren? Oh man, I forgot to call him back. Why were our imos barren? Mamish, and that's also a gullus we're still dealing with. Mamish, we're still dealing with until today. When you have women, unfortunately, lo aleinu, we shouldn't know from it, who are married and wanting so deeply to have children, and unfortunately plagued with some level of infertility, It's a machla, very difficult, very private, very sensitive. Something we don't talk about. It's very hard. It's a gullus, another gullus. So what is Chazal say there? Lama, why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'avet tefilasin shel tzaddikim. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our tefilas. I mean, he wants our tefilas. We're going to daven. He's doing this so that we daven. He's doing this so that we daven. In other words, Hashem wants our tefilas. But here he says, matitzakalai, just go. What? Hashem, you're the one who always wants our tefilas. The Gemara says, halavai shispalo kol hayom. Halavai, we should daven all day long. Non-stop davening. You look in Rashi and Bereishis, all the way at the beginning, it says, what happened when we see, when the trees were all created, so you think all the trees were created, all the fruits and vegetables were created with it, right? No, that's not how it went. You know when the fruits and vegetables came into being? Not until man was created. There were no fruits and vegetables in the world until the sixth day of creation, until man was created, even though all the trees and was all created earlier. Why? Because Rashi explains, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching the world, there's nothing that should and can exist in the world without tefillah. So potentially everything was created. In potential, everything was created already. However, it was only in potential until man was created in order to daven for it. The world runs on tefillah. You know, Chmesnes, you had the slogan in one of these commercials, the world runs on Duncan. No. The world runs on tefillah. The world runs on tefillah. Mamish, like real. Not like some cute thing. Like it really runs on tefillah. Like everything that happens is only based on tefillah. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. That it's dependent upon tefillah, dependent upon our davening. We run the world. When you daven shacharis tomorrow, you're changing the world. Your own personal world and the global world. Mamish, real. This is real. So then how could it be that Hashem says, Matitzaklai, why are you davening to me? That's the same Hashem we're talking about? So listen to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Hail the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Listen to the words of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Mamish, I saw this Or HaChaim HaKadosh the other night. It's amazing the way the Rabbanu Shalom works. Because as I said, I had a very heavy week for a lot of other reasons not to talk about, but mainly this situation with my Talmud, who I love so dearly. And it was like, maybe it was Monday night or Tuesday night, I don't know. It's all one, you know, like the whole week is one day. It's one of those weeks, so I don't know. But one of the nights, late at night, it's probably around 1 o'clock in the morning, I finally had a chance to sit down and to learn for a few minutes. And I pulled out and I saw this Or HaChaim, and I was mamish tansing. It was like, it gave me the biggest chizuk in the world. And I've been living with this Or HaChaim ever since. And I've been waiting to give over. To emesis, I told you I gave this over to Binyamin Pinchas, and we learned it together and spoke about it. But I haven't given it over to anyone else yet. I've been waiting to give this over to you. That's the emes. So comes along, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and he has this question, the same question. He doesn't understand, why does God say don't daven? That's what he always wants from us. What's going on? Says it's Pirish. He first explains, not reading the whole thing. But we know that Klal Yisrael by Mitzrayim were on the lowest of low. We're on the 49th level of Tumah, right? Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah v'halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Both us and the Egyptians were serving idols. They couldn't tell the difference between us and the Egyptians. We were walking like the Egyptians, as they say. We were in the lowest of low. So because of that, he says, Kiein Dover Taloi Biyadi. Hashem says, I can't do anything about this. It's not dependent on my hand. I can't help you right now based on your tefillas. Hagam Shani Chofeitz Asos Neis. God sent us, even though I want to bring a miracle right now, I want to do something for you. I want to save you. Kevon Shehem Einam Royim Midos Adin Monas. Since Klal Yisrael was not fit, we're on such a low level, the judgment said, refrained, we weren't allowed. God couldn't just, I scream out to help. So, sure, we didn't deserve it. All the mercy in the world that God has for us, all the feelings couldn't help, he said. Meaning what? We are in a state, and there are times in life where even tefillah doesn't help. Because tefillah needs some koyach of maisim to back it. Tefillah needs some maisim toivim to back it, to deserve it on some level. Then the tefillah pushes through. But if we don't deserve it on any level, all the tefillahs in the world won't help. We're stuck. It's scary. If we stopped shir now, it would be very depressing. Mamish, very depressing. Life, I mean, mamish, you know, throw in the towel. I mean, Hashem Yirachim, the tefillah doesn't help, and what are we supposed to do? In a place where we're not roy, in a place where we're not fit. But listen to this, listen. Listen to this and never forget this. So what did he say? V'amar lov, he says, Dabra b'nei Yisrael, tell b'nei Yisrael to what? Just go. Why just go then? What do you mean just go? Jump into the sea, what? To commit suicide? Because you didn't know, there's no way out. So just give it up. Chas v'sholom. Listen to what he says. Listen to what Arachayim. Pirush explains, Zeh ha'etza yutza lahagbir tzada chesed v'rachamim. This is the advice that Hashem gives. Even when tefillah can't help, even when tefillah can't break through, even when the situation seems so bleak, I'm so dark, my life is one big gullus. Mamish gehenim al aret. I'm so depressed, I'm so down, my tefillahs are not breaking through. I don't deserve it for whatever reason. So the following, the Eitzah still could get me through. Da'aber b'nei Yisrael, tell b'nei Yisrael. Vayitatzmu be'amuno, that they have to strengthen their belief in God. Bechol libam, with all their heart. Vayisoyam, and travel into the sea. Kodem she'echalik, before I split it. Al smach habitochon, and rely on trust in God. That I'll do a miracle for them. Ube'emtzozem, through that medium of bitachon, tiskaber harachamim, the mercy will be strong. Ki godol habitachon ve'amuna halaz lachriyam latova. Because amuna and bitachon is so strong, it could cause the graces of chesed and push away all din. You hear Nashim Tzidkanios. Vada HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mis'ave Tfilasen. For sure Hashem wants our tefillahs. But sometimes we've been davening. And sometimes we're not right through our tefillahs. So Zehu, there's something even stronger than tefillah. It's bitachon. And bitachon will bring geula. Bitachon will bring chesed. Bitachon in Hashem, that I trust in Hashem. I believe in Hashem. I believe whatever Hashem does is best. I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. So how am I going to be down? I'm not in Golus. This is God. This is the Ribbono Shel. There is no such thing as Golus. Because God runs the world. So I'm good. This is what He wants from me now. And that trust in God is the key to Geula. The key to ultimate redemption. That's what the Rechaim HaKadosh is saying. Even when tefillah is not working. There's nothing in life more powerful than bitachon. There is nothing. And through that bitachon will be zeicha to geula. We have to trust in Hashem. We have to believe in Hashem. If I'm down and out and I'm sad and I'm depressed and I'm upset and I'm... It's a raya. I don't have the right amun and bitachon. That's what it comes down to. If I have amun and bitachon, it's all good. And that amun and bitachon pulls me out of the gullus. That's the key. That's the parsha. That's what I'm saying. The moment of geula was that moment of Kriyas Yamsuf. If you ask any child or any adult, what moment was the moment of geula? Kriyas Yamsuf. That's why that's when we sing Az Yashir. That's when we're thankful. That's the moment of Gula. And what is the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh teaching us based on the pasuk from the Ribbono Shel Olam that was the key to the Gula? Not tefillah, couldn't be tachon. Just trusting in God. Hashem, I throw myself. You got me, man. You got me. I believe in you, I'm good. I'll tell you, in this conversation I've had with him a few times since, this Talmud of mine, this Bachar of mine, Binyam Pinchas ben Dafna, he's been now in the hospital for 3 weeks. But the week right before he went in, I went out to lunch with him. Now already he had very little appetite, he could hardly eat, but we went out to lunch to spend time. We're sitting there, and at that point he already knew the situation was very not good. That's when they already basically stopped treatment. And b'derech teva, he knew, if we're not zeicher nisim, there's not much more time in this world. And we were sitting there talking, and he said to me, he looked at me, and he said, Rebbe, I want you to know, I believe in the Rebbeinu Shalom 100%. I have no fear. Whatever the Rebbeinu Shalom wants with me, I believe in, and it's all good. My only fear is I don't want to suffer at all. And last week in the hospital, in this hospital bed he's been in already for a week and a half at that point, 2 weeks, we had a very similar conversation. And someone in that place, and a 24-year-old young man, the bitachon he has, it's all geula. If you go to visit him the last few days, I don't know, it's nisim gluyim what's going on. For a week, the last week, he could hardly speak and could hardly talk. And then this Tuesday, Wednesday, the last few days, suddenly, like, mamish, he's like full of life and could just talk again. And you go visit him, you walk in there, you think you're talking with the happiest person in the world. It doesn't make any sense. But when you have bitachon, you're living b'geula. You're living a life of redemption. There is no galus. That's the bitachon he has. The Medrash in Tehillim, there's a Medrash that says as follows. The Medrash says that one time in a country, the police saw some tourist and arrested the tourist. And I don't know exactly what he was doing, but they wanted to really give him a beating, and he suddenly says, please don't touch me, I'm a ben bayis by the melech. I'm a ben bayis by the melech. I'm one with the king, I live by the king. You're a ben bayis by the melech. This was late at night, they put him in a jail cell just for the night, and in the morning we're going to go to the king, and we'll figure it out. But they don't torture him, they don't do anything to him, because he's a ben bayis by the melech. So in the morning they go to the king, and the king looks at him, and the king has no clue who this guy is. He's never seen this guy before in his life. So the king says, do you recognize me? Like he said to him, do you recognize me? And the guy right away, he's not going to be in front of the king, be mavazed. He says, no, I don't. He says, then what do you mean? Why'd you tell them you're a ben bayis by me? He says, if I didn't say I was a ben bayis by you, they would have tortured me, they would have destroyed me. I have trust in you that you'll take care of me. So I'm a ben bayis by you. And the king answered back to his police, he said, leave him alone. If he trusts in me, how could I not take care of him? And what's the lesson for each and every one of us? It's even those of us that don't necessarily recognize the king. What does it mean not to recognize the king? It means I'm not serving him the way I should. I don't necessarily dive into the best of my ability. I don't necessarily learn as much as I could be learning. I don't necessarily always dress the way I should be dressing. I don't always necessarily speak the way I should be speaking. I don't always necessarily treat my family, my parents, my friends the way I should be treating them. I'm not recognizing the king the way I should recognize the king. So why should I have bracha and simcha and gula in my life? Still, I could always rely b'soymech on b'tachon. I have to be b'tachon in Hashem. And if I show the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I completely rely on you. My life is dependent on you. It's all good. Then I'm geula. Then I'm fine. Hashem's gonna. How can I? Hashem says you don't recognize me, but you lean on me. Lean on me. I got you. I got your back. That's where b'tachon could take us. The emes is I saw in the Sefer of Binyamin Eisenberger. Yes, but we see often. That we see that Hakadosh Baruch Hu, like some of the makoros we said tonight, that Hashem does want our tefillas, and in Mitzrayim also wanted their tefillas and listened to their tefillas. Then here he says he didn't listen to tefillas. Which one? Seemingly, Binyamin Eisenberger says it was a combination of the two. You need tefillah and bitachon. And ultimately, if you think about it for a moment, by the way, tefillah should be, if it's done sincerely, is the greatest representation of our bitachon. When you daven correctly, you daven me'am because I live. That is your. I'm showing I trust in Hashem and I care in Hashem. But you have to really believe it. If it's just lip service, if it's just Hebrew reading exercises, so then it's meaningless internally. It's not going to bring you to Geula. True bitachon brings you to Geula. That's what we're saying. But it's a synthesis of the tefillah with that bitachon. That trust in Hashem. By the way, now maybe we could understand the chazal that I'm sure all of you have heard at some point in your life. Maybe it'll be a chizik to some of you. There's a very strange chazal in Sota Daf Beis Amud Aleph. And the chazal says, Kosha zivugim kekriyas yamsuf. That shiduchim, finding your basheret, is very difficult, just like kriyas yamsuf was very difficult. It's a very hard parasha, it's difficult. And it doesn't make so much sense. I mean, what does that mean? Is anything difficult to God? It's really difficult for God to bring two people together? There's nothing difficult for God. Was it difficult for God to split the sea? Was it really difficult for God to split the sea? If God wants to split the sea, He splits the sea. If God wants the sea to be together, He's again. There's nothing difficult for Hashem. He created the whole world with a few words. I mean, difficult for God? What does the Gemara mean? But now that we understand tonight that what was the source, meaning Kriyas Yamsuf, Klal Yisrael standing at sea, and what was Kasha? It was Kasha because God says, I can't answer your tefillahs because you don't deserve it. And what was the force that brought about Kriyas Yamsuf? What was the force that brought the Gula? What was it? Bitachon. Kasha Zivu and Kriyas Yamsuf saying, Rabbanu Shalom says, listen, life in Galus is not always going to be so easy. For whatever reason, we don't understand the Cheshbonos. Let's be real. None of us understand the Rabbeinu Shalom. And that doesn't mean we don't believe in the Rabbeinu Shalom. And it doesn't mean we don't believe in Yiddishkeit. If we thought we believed the Rabbeinu Shalom, that's the most gaivistic thing in the world. Because who are we? Who are we? We understand the Rabbeinu Shalom. We hardly understand ourselves, right? Everyone in this room admits that there are people way wiser than you, right? And let's be real, how old? You're in this room and you're sitting here and you're 20 years old, you're 22 years old, you're 18 years old, you're 23 years old, whatever, how old you are, right? So think about it for a moment. If you think back 10 years ago, when you were 13, you were 10, whatever, hopefully right now you're way wiser than you were then, right? Everybody in this room, I hope the answer is yes. And my hope for each and every one of you is in 10 years from now, when you're, Bezes Hashem, 31 and 32, or whatever age you are, in 10 years from now, you'll be a lot wiser than you are now. Meaning there's a lot more you have to learn, right? Everybody believes that and understands that. And so on your whole entire life. And everybody in this room understands there are people that are way wiser than us as well. So suddenly, but at the same time, I'm 21 and I gotta understand everything about the world. What kind of gaiva is that? Because I have questions and I don't understand. We understand. We don't know. Amunah means I don't understand anything, but I understand that there's Hashem. That's what it really is. That's what true Amunah is. True Amunah is I understand that I don't understand. Zehu, but it's Eibishter. It's a Rabbeinu Shalom. And I give my bitachon to Hashem because He's way smarter than I. And He knows way better what's best for me. I think I know what's best for me. What do we know? So kasha zivu and kriyas yamsuf. Hashem says, "What brings kriyas yamsuf is kasha?" Because Hashem says, "You weren't right, you weren't fit, but bitachon brought it." So too, you want to know how what's going to be the key to geula and shiduchim? Bitachon, belief in Hakadosh Baruch Hu that it's all good, and Hashem knows the best person for every person, and He knows the right time, and He knows what's going to be. Zehu, then it's good. And bitachon is the biggest key to all geula and to all refuah and. And that's it. That's how I take myself from Gaul to Gula Beprati, in my individual life. In my life, whatever I am going through in life, whatever Nisoyon, whatever trial and tribulation at this point in my life I'm going through, in my personal life, whenever it is, Bitachon, I'll be good. And we have to believe in that. You know, there's a Pasuk in Malachi, You all know the Pasuk, because it was turned into a song. So you know the Pasuk. Otherwise, who would know a Pasuk Malachi? You know even Malachi exists? I don't know, meaning... Maybe women, maybe you guys know Tanakh a little more. By us, we don't even know from the Shem Yerachim. It's terrible. So the pasuk says in Malachi Paragimel pasuk Yud, Varikoisi lechem bracha. Finish it. Varikoisim lechem bracha. Ad beli dai. Right, you know the song. Yeah, okay, we're not gonna sing it now. But you're holding, I'm sure. Varikoisi lechem bracha. Ad beli dai. Chassidish song, you know. Varikoisi lechem bracha. Ad beli dai. You've been to Simchas Beis Shoevas, you've been watched from through the on top, your little fingers you put through, right? Which means basically that Hashem will bring a tremendous amount of blessing down until we say like enough, which basically means limitless, like unlimited bracha. Unlimited bracha. This is what we want. We want unlimited bracha. I want geula. Where could it come from? Where could it come from? So first of all, we have to understand, right? Ad beli dai, without dai, is unlimited bracha. Dai, which means enough, is limited. That's why Hashem's name, Shakai, you've heard that name, Shindal Yud, is a name that represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's manifestation in the world when there are limits, when there are boundaries. Shakai, Shaddai, it's enough. Beli dai means it's not, it's overflowing, it's... And this is what we all want. We all want bracha ad beli dai. We want, even in situations that look so bleak, even if all the doctors in the world say there's no answer, that's shakai, that's in the natural world of bracha. We believe this ad beli dai, that there could be yeshuos and refuos, no matter what doctors say, as Rav Svi Meir told me 2 months of Shabbos ago, they know from nothing. He said the doctors know from nothing. Because there could be ad beli dai, but how do we get to ad beli dai? So what's the makor of all kedusha and bracha? The makor of all kedusha and bracha is Shabbos. Shabbos kodesh. We're all sitting here, erev Shabbos kodesh. We're all very excited for Shabbos, right? Everybody's very, very excited for Shabbos. I'm very excited for Shabbos. I'm mamish. Very excited for Shabbos. So on Shabbos, if I baruch l'kimes yom ha'shvi'i kadesh, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed the seventh day and made it holy. And all the mafarshim say that means it's the makor of all kedusha and all bracha. It's the source of all holiness and all bracha. All kedusha and bracha come from Shabbos. That's why before chasana you have an ofruf to prepare, because all the kedusha and bracha of chasana comes from the Shabbos before, and before bris milah you have the shalom zachar. So Shabbos is called kedusha bracha. There could be, but there's bracha during the week as well, but the bracha during the week is shakai. It's limited. Shabbos is ad beli dai. Listen to this, mamish, tremendous Torah. This Torah I had the schus to see from Rav Avram Shor. Vada was in the schus of Binyam Pinchas Ben Dafna, because I don't have the time to really explain this well now, but Binyam Pinchas Ben Dafna, he's totally with it. Don't get scared by what I have to say. He told me many times this week, he feels like it's always Shabbos right now. He's like just living in Shabbos, because he's such a malach, he feels like he's living in Shabbos. So in that schus I saw the following Torah. The 6 days of the week, we say, is limited bracha. Shabbos is overflowing bracha, right? That's what we just explained. If you take the 6 days of the week, what are they? If we look in Parshas Bereishis, they're called Echad, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi, Hashishi. It's Yom Hashishi, right? Yom Hashishi, Vayichul Hashem, right? We all know that. There's a whole Torah on why. It's Hashishi, not Shishi, but it's Hashishi. You know why it's Hashishi? Does anyone know why it's Hashishi? Hashishi is referring to the sixth day of Sivan. Because all of Maaseh Bereishis was dependent on our acceptance of the Torah. Until we accepted the Torah, the world would have ceased to exist if we didn't accept the Torah. So it's alluding to that. But okay, for another time, we could explain that if you caught on. L'maisa, it's again, Echad, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi, Hashishi. You got it? So what are the Rosh Tevos of those? You going to follow this one? You ready? Aleph, Shin, Reish, Ches, Hey. Aleph, Shin, Reish, Ches, Hey. Echad, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi, Hashishi. If you add up the gematria, and trust me, I've done it, did it. If you add up gematria of all six of those days, Rosh Tevos, it's 814. Okay? You with me? Jennifer, you with me over there?
Yeah.
Okay, 814. 814. 814 is exactly gematria. Shakai, Shindal Yud, Bemiloy. What does Bemiloy mean? If you take each letter and you say it out, Shin is Shin Yud Nun, really. Shin Yud Nun. Dal is Dal Lamed Tuf. Yud is Yud Vav Dalet. If you set it out, that's how it would be. So Shin Yud Nun Dal Lamet Tuf. Yud Vav Dalet is Shakai B'miloy, the entire word, really. If you add up all those letters, exactly 814. Meaning what? The sixth day of Bereishis is Shakai. Shakai, as we said, die. It's enough. It's limited bracha. Come Shabbos Kodesh, Vayvarach, Lekimesh, Yom HaShvi, Vayikadesh, Yosof. Come Shabbos Kodesh, Hashem blessed the seventh day and it's full of Kedushim Bracha. Why? Why is Shabbos full of Kedushim Bracha? We're about to enter into Shabbos. And Mirz Hashem, it's going to be Shabbos, it's going to be overflowing Kedushim Bracha to bring Refuos and Yeshuos ad Belidai. But why? Because Shabbos is all Bitachon. How does a Yid go into Shabbos and suddenly one day I'm not going to work and I'm just going to believe that Hashem is going to provide for me enough? All the Goyim, all the Mitzvahim, they could work an extra day, they could be involved, and I'm going to be Tachon Hashem, everything will be okay, and it's all going to be good, and I'm going to take off and be Kulo Ruchni and live a Ruchniistic life one day a week without any Gashmias, without any Malacha, without it. It's all Bitachon. When it's Bitachon, it's Bracha Ad Belidai. By the way, that Pasuk, everyone knows that part because that's the song. If you look at the beginning of the pasuk, what's it talking about? Haviu es kol ha-meiser. Talking about bringing meiser. Meiser is 1/10 of your earnings you're giving to tzedakah. What is the mechus, the essence? What is behind the mitzvah meiser? Bitachon. That even though I have all this money that I earned, I'm going to give it away because I bitachon that Hashem provides for me. It's all bitachon. So when you have bitachon, bracha ad belidai. Each and every one of us, we want bracha. That's what geula is. That's what geula is, a life of bracha. When you have bitachon, you have bracha. When you have bitachon, you have geula. When you have bitachon, it led to Golas Mitzrayim. It's the source of Shabbos, of Makor Sha'ol bracha. You know, we just entered into the month of Shvat. And, okay, I'm going to share with you a little deep, not that that wasn't deep tire, but deep Torah that I don't even fully grasp, but the lesson behind it will grasp, right? Every month has a constellation. Al Pi Kabbalah. Oh, you learn B'nai Yisachar? What's going on? Wow. Okay, good. So every month has a constellation. It's called the Mazel of the Month. So everybody knows, for example, Adar is the most famous, right? Adar is Dagim, is fish. That's why any picture you see of the month of Adar has fish on it. Some people know as well Tishrei. Right? Tishrei. What's Tishrei? Maznayim, scales. That's obvious, because we're being judged. Okay, the others, we're not going to go through all of them right now. The constellation for the month of Shvat, for this month, Daniela, is?
Dili.
Dili. What is Dili?
A bucket.
A bucket, a pail. There's some constellation up there in the stars. I don't know what the actual like Greek name is that we might call it, but there is. They're all real constellations. And what the idea is that constellation like rules over the month somehow, whatever that means exactly. So Dali, a pale. You know why? You know what I believe? First of all, and by the way, brought down in Sfarim Kedoshim that Dali is the constellation of Bnei Yisrael. That's our constellation. Now the emes is that we, when we're doing what's right, are above the mazel, that Hashem rules us and not mazalos. But when we're not living up to who we are, it's still Dali at least. Why? What's Dali? What's a pail? A pail is meant to be filled up. When you have a pail, it's saying this is going to be a month to fill yourselves up with bracha, with kedusha, through the bitachon that we have. And where do we see that? When you think about Shvat, immediately you think about Tu B'Shvat. Mitzvah Hashem, next Shabbos, Kodesh, Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat, we all know, is the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos, right? The Rosh Hashanah for trees. Tu B'Shvat. Go outside next Shabbos Kodesh and go look at your trees. And tell me if you see any growth. So, and then you'll say, okay, it's Shkoyach because we don't live in Eretz Yisrael. So then, Matzei Shabbos Kodesh, get on a plane. Halavai Yishbi Zocha. Some of you maybe can. You get on a plane and go to Eretz Yisrael. And then you're going to get into, if you leave Matzei Shabbos Kodesh, you get in Monday already. It'll be dark outside by the time you land. Yeah, Sunday in the afternoon, it'll be dark already. So Monday morning, you wake up. Or Bistam, you're not just real, it's hard to go to sleep because you love it so much. So Monday morning, you go Vasikin. And then after you finish Vasikin at the Kaisel, you walk away. And you're in the old city. It's hard to find too much trees and too much going on. But you walk outside, and the place is you find the makom where there are trees. And look at the trees and tell me if you see any growth. You ain't going to see any growth. In fact, when do we make the bracha on Ilanos? When do we make the bracha when the trees start to bloom and to blossom? In Nisan. Tu B'Shvat, that's 6 weeks prior. Why are we starting? Rosh Hashanah Ilanos. It's snowing outside. Rosh Hashanah Ilanos. So I'll get my boxer and break my teeth on it. But Rosh Hashanah Ilanos, what's going on? the emes is, because if you know a little bit about what's going on, and you talk to people that are in the fields and know about the trees and what are they called again, botanists, whatever, right? Am I right? I think so. So they'll tell you, but deep down in the ground, that's when the roots are starting. That's when things are starting to regurgitate inside there, and it's the beginning stages of the growth that we don't see come out later, but it's happening underneath the ground. So we're, okay, shkoyach, so that's happening. Do I see that? Do I know about that? But we're going to celebrate Rosh Hashanah and also have Tu B'Shvat. Teretz is what? Bitachon. Bitachon. I might not see it. I might not understand it. I might not know. But I believe in the Rabbeinu Shalom, and things are happening that I don't even see yet. They might not come out till later, but right, I know things are already happening. Even in the midst of the darkness, they're happening. I just don't see it. That's what bitachon is. That's shvat. That's Tu B'Shvat. That's the pail that if you have the bitachon, you're going to fill that dli, fill bracha, always. And you'll live a life of gula. Let's just end with a story. I had the place, but got a little excited over here. Ah. I want to read you the story. The Rabbeinu Shalom, everything's Yat Shemaya. And the other night, when I was thinking about these ideas, so I pulled this book off. I'm thinking about Bitachon. I pulled this book off my shelf. It's one of Rabbi Yechiel Spiro's Touched by Their Faith. And I opened up to this story. So if I opened up to this story, this is the story I'm supposed to share with you. Listen to this story. It's called Dancing into the Book of Life. Moshe grew up in Lithuania and was a staunch Misnaged. Misnaged is like the opposite of a chassid for those. He disliked Chassidus and felt that its approach to various aspects of Avodah Hashem was totally wrong. Okay, I don't necessarily connect with that, but I mean, it's Nagi, but it is what it is, right? He had recently moved to Poland, where there was a strong Chassidic presence. At first, he tried to ignore the disparities and nuances of the Chassidic Derech, but he found himself bothered by what he considered the Chassidism's unconventional behavior. And what irked him most was their constant happiness. Listen to the story. The Hasidim of Lublin were always singing and dancing. Moshe, who was very serious by nature, preferred a more stoic approach to the performance of mitzvahs. Occasionally, he felt a bit guilty about his dour attitude and sour mood, but he brushed off the guilt by reassuring himself that his derech was the proper one. With Rosh Hashanah just a few days away, Moshe prepared himself for the inevitable aggravation that came along with each Yom Tov in Lublin. He was certain that the Hasidim would sing excessively, but when word reached him that the Chayz of Lublin, Rav Yaakov Yitzchak, not only allowed, but encouraged dancing in the Beis Medrash on Rosh Hashanah, Moshe decided this was something he had to see with his own eyes. In addition, he was determined, once and for all, to speak to the Chayz of Lublin and try to put an end to the Hasidim's inappropriate behavior. On Rosh Hashanah, Moshe could hear the singing and dancing from down the block. With each step he took in the direction of the Beis Medrash, his anger mounted. By the time he arrived, he was seething. Moshe walked into the building and saw hundreds of Hasidim dancing in elation, the joy radiating from their faces. He also noted that off to the side, there was a handful of lonely-looking Hasidim. Some were brooding, while others just seemed uninspired. Moshe searched for the Chayza. When he found him, he approached him and immediately unloaded his many complaints and frustrations regarding the Hasidic way of life. The Chayza listened patiently to Moshe's tirade and nodded ever so often. Although this fit of anger was a clear sign of disrespect towards the Chosa, he patiently allowed Moshe to find his calm. Upon its completion, instead of immediately offering a rebuttal, he first wished Moshe a good yor. Moshe was taken aback by the Chosa's warmth and gentleness. Then the Chosa said to Moshe, "Tell me, what bothers you about the dancing in particular?" Moshe then went into another lengthy. He said that he felt it was highly inappropriate to dance while one's life is hanging in the balance. He wondered how a person could take such a serious day so lightly. Suddenly, the Chayza pulled Moshe close to him, and he asked him to close his eyes and allow the Chayza to place his hand over his face. Moshe granted permission and closed his eyes. While the Chola placed his hand over Moshe's eyes, all of a sudden, Moshe began to shake, and he quickly moved away. When the Chayza asked him what he had seen, Moshe admitted he had seen an image that portrayed the dancers in the circle, and that they had all been inscribed in the Book of Life. The cynicism which Moshe had entered the Beis Medrash was quickly dissipating. The Chayza smiled and asked him to close his eyes once more. Again Moshe closed his eyes, and the Chayza placed his hand over Moshe's eyes. After a moment, Moshe pulled away again, but this time he was visibly upset. What's wrong, Rav Moshe? Asked the Chayza. Moshe described the second vision he had seen, the book of death, and the names of all those who were sitting in the sidelines were inscribed on the pages. Moshe looked up at the Chayza's face. Rebbe, what about me? If I don't feel like dancing, what does that mean for my future? Is it indicative of my demise, like the rest of those men who are out of the circle? By now, Moshe had completely lost his negative attitude. He just feared for his life. The Rebbe was quiet for a moment as he contemplated Moshe's question. Reb Moshe, let me tell you an important insight. There are two ways to be inscribed in the Book of Life. Either with your hands or with your feet. For most, it's their hands, symbolizing their good deeds, which gained them entry into the Sefer HaChaim. But even for those who have not gained life through their good deeds, there is still hope. They can be inscribed through their feet by dancing with Simcha. Perhaps you are not worthy due to the good deeds, but you can still dance your way in. Reb Moshele, gemeichei tanzel. Go do a little dance. He did and he lived. Happiness is not a superficial emotion. It's a very deep acceptance of the manner in which Hashem treats us. When we're happy, we convey a high level of emunah. You see, so there are two ways to geula, basically. Sometimes we're zoiche to daven for it. Sometimes we're zoiche through our ma'asim tovim, through everything we do to find geula, to gain geula. But sometimes we have to dance in. Sometimes when we're not zoiche, we just have to have bitachon in Hashem. And with that bitachon, with that emunah, we're zoiche to dance into the Sefer HaChaim. We're zoiche to dance out of our ga'alus into a world of geula. And that should be the zchus for each and every one of us. As we read these parashios of the parashios of ga'alus l'ge'ula, each and every one of us should have the chizuk to take ourselves out of our personal ga'alus into a world and life of geula. Geula ba'olam hazeh. To live a chaye olam haba bi'olam hazeh. And whatever is going on in our lives, you'll see, we'll dissipate, we'll fade, because I'm already living in that geula through the bitachon that I have. And may Hashem, and that tzchus will be zoicha the geula for all of Klal Yisrael, with Yeshuos for those who need, with Erfuos for those who need, with Mashiach Zidkenu b'mehera v'yameinu. And Hashem, a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh, and we'll continue, hopefully in Eretz Yisrael, b'karav mamish.